Good morning, good afternoon, guys. Welcome back to another Geek Tavern. As always, it's me, Sean, and I'm joined by Mike.
Hello.
And Aaron.
Hello.
And today, we're talking about my recommendation this week, which is The Big Short, a dramatization film about the housing market crash of 2008. So we're going to have spoiler discussion about that, even though there's not really anything to spoil because it's basically...
You all know how it ended.
Yeah. It's basically just following a bunch of bankers, which I'll admit the movie's a little dense, but I'm very fond of it. So
I mean, the only thing, the only problem I guess I had was like I didn't understand a damn thing they were talking about, like all the numbers and the.
But they put Margot Robbie in a bathtub to tell you about something.
I mean, I knew it was Margot Robbie, but I was like, I don't know what you're saying.
It was kind of funny because I don't know if, like, Adam McKay thought that that was, like... I mean, like, that's Adam McKay's filming style. Is like, he likes to break... Well, especially after Step Brothers, he really likes to break the fourth wall to explain things that are happening. Like, take one of his later films, Vice... the whole movie's narrated by Jesse Plemons' character, who is the man who gave the heart transplant, unwillingly gave his heart to Dick Cheney. But the whole movie's narrated by him, even after his death. So there's always like a framing device, and in this movie, the framing device, or the... He bounces back and forth with the narration because he... In order to explain something very complex, he makes either characters in the scene turn to the camera and, like, explain it, or he has well-known celebrities come on and explain
Ryan how Gosling this works. Kind of the framing device.
Yes, yeah. I actually forgot about Ryan Gosling, to be honest, with his going as Patrick Dempsey for Halloween look.
The hair throws me off. Every time he's on screen, I'm like, that's not like your hair.
It's a bad dye job.
The movie... I don't remember if it starts with a narration from him.
From him.
And then he's like, don't worry, we'll see each other soon. And then it goes into Christian Bale's thing and then, like, how all of these people have cut. It's funny because, like, they each, like, learn from it as, like, a consequence of each other. Like, Ryan Gosling's character learns about the bubble because of Christian Bale. And then, Steve Carell learns about it because of Ryan Gosling, and so does those two like soul investors learn about it because of Ryan Gosling's thing.
Dollar General, Christopher Mintz-Plasse, and Matt Gaetz.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they even explain in that scene where they're like looking through Jared's like plan. They're like, oh, is this really going to happen? And then he puts it down. He's like, we didn't actually do that.
Find it in the hotel.
Yeah, he's like, I saw it on a newsletter and whatever. I forget. But like you say, a couple of people break the fourth wall.
Yeah.
Plenty of times throughout the
which is fine because that's his style of directing, which I love. I mean, hands down, I love every Adam McKay movie, including this movie. Like spoilers, I enjoy his style of the way that he does things. And it's weird to me. I don't know what else he did before Step Brothers. Anchorman.
Oh, okay.
So he did like Anchorman and Step Brothers, and he like completely 180'd and started doing these very serious, like not really like they still are comedic. They don't take themselves super super seriously, but they are about more serious subject matter. Like The Big Short, Vice, Don't Look Up. Don't Look Up is more of a satire. So it can definitely have a little bit more comedy, but it's still taking on serious subject matter of that's relevant to today. And I admire that about him because I feel like he's, aside from like documentarians, like he's about the only director who really like takes that subject matter to heart and really runs with it anymore. And that's refreshing to see in a lot of cases because you get like all these dramatic stories and everything, but you don't have those films where people are like, oh yeah, this happened. This was fucking ridiculous. Do you guys want to know how ridiculous? Because I'll show you how ridiculous, but I'll make it entertaining for you. I'll put Christian Bale in fat makeup and make him be Dick Cheney. Like, I respect Adam McKay for the work that he does. And, like, Don't Look Up was probably one of his weaker ones.
Yeah.
Compared to
Vice. I don't like it as good as well as I do The Big Short or Vice. Yeah. Vice is my favorite.
Yeah.
It's really a good movie, in my opinion.
I
think that the reason for that is that it's, like, solely his own script.
Yeah.
Rather than him, like, literally adapting something that has happened, like, 10 years ago, 20 years ago at this point.
Not quite.
Well,
not quite.
Close. We're getting there.
But, yeah, and this is about the housing market crash. So, it basically, it's kind of a, like, you go into the movie knowing what's going to happen. So I guess it's just a kind of, you get to watch the domino effect.
A deeper explanation of, because, like, I'm going to be upfront, I don't know anything about economics or anything like that. So, like, it's like, oh, so you know that this horrible thing happened, but this is, like, the events that created and curated this environment for one of the worst periods of recent human history, because a bunch of millionaires and billionaires were too greedy and just wanted more money and completely collapsed the economy worldwide.
Yeah, I mean, we all had that happen here a few months ago.
Yeah.
When we all realized that the capitalist greed was about to impinge on everybody, because when we had gas prices and everything start to skyrocket, and then everybody woke up and realized, oh, there's no actual shortages or anything. We're just getting gouged by the corporation.
Yeah. Gas companies.
Yeah, just something's happened in the world, so there's an excuse to shoot it up.
Yeah, they're like, ooh, a war in Ukraine?
Right.
Cool. Enjoy paying $5 for this.
Yeah. I mean, still not down to where it needs to be.
But no. And probably will never go back down to where it needs to be. But
yeah, it'll be there for
a while. But they had to back it down because nobody was going to pay.
I forget the years. Not that this is the gas podcast, but there's a couple years where it was right around $4 for a couple years before, like, 2011 probably, or so.
Yeah, close to 2010, 2011. Yeah.
So it'll go back down probably eventually, but one thing I appreciate about this movie is all the cast.
Mm.
And some that I didn't know, specifically Karen Gillan.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. For a very brief.
Yeah, it wasn't very long, but
yeah.
I was like, ooh, like it. Not that, like, I did thoroughly enjoy this movie, but that definitely grabbed my attention a little bit more. I'm like, oh, somebody I, you know, really like. Not that I don't like Christian Bale or...
What really gripped me was Margot Robbie in a bubble.
Right.
That's when I was like, all right, I'm here.
I mean, Selena Gomez playing poker.
Yeah, there are scenes like that where, like, I understand, like, because, like I said, it's very dense material. Like, the layman isn't going to, like, totally understand what's happening.
And that's what's nice about his style.
There are those scenes where it's like, here's Margot Robbie in a bathtub to explain what COFs are or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay.
CDO.
Yeah, CDO. Yeah, so that's CDO. What it is. And then it's like, she does that. And on one hand of things, I was like, okay, you know, that's an interesting way to explain things. But on the other hand, it's like almost not respecting your audience's intelligence.
Well, but I mean, like, it's true, though. Unless you're an economist, you're not going to know these things. Like, you're just an everyday person.
Yeah.
We're not expected to know that information or be educated on it whatsoever. So, like, when he has, like, Anthony Bourdain explain this or Selena Gomez explain that, like, so to some people it might be taken as disrespect, but I feel like the majority of moviegoers who go to see a movie like this are too dumb to understand the material. So they're just sitting there just going, huh?
Yeah.
And then he's like, okay, here's half-naked Margot Robbie. She'll explain it. And then they're like, oh! And then they're like, okay, I get it now. Like, well, While it could be seen as disrespect, I gotta give the guy props because he knows his audience.
Right.
I mean, I don't remember what the Margot Robbie one even was talking about.
But it was explaining like the CDOs and how like they were all like they were garbage. Okay. Like, so they're all filled with these like really bad mortgages.
Was that one tied in with the AAAs and the
Yes. That's okay. The scene where Ryan Gosling is basically playing Jenga in Steve Carell's office.
Okay, yeah. I remember that part. For some reason, like, I wasn't even paying attention to the Margot Robbie part. I remember thinking, like, oh, that's Margot Robbie. I didn't even hear him say that, you know? But, so later when the Selena Gomez one happened, I'm like, oh, so that was Margot Robbie as Margot Robbie.
Yeah.
But the Selena Gomez one, actually, like, I was intrigued by it. Mm-hmm. Like, them explaining the poker and it having 83% or whatever it was. Like,
And then it all was the side bets and everything.
Yeah. That one actually worked on me, because I'm dumb. So.
No, that like, explained it perfectly. I was like, oh, okay, cool. I understand that now.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a third one?
The Anthony Bourdain one, where he's, like, making fish. And he's that like, one, yeah. That one is pretty good too. Where he's like, so I ordered halibut on Friday and nobody wanted it. So I
wasn't going
to
let it go.
Yeah, I'm not going to let it go to waste. So I chop it up and make it into a 3-day-old halibut stew. Yeah. That's like his explanation of like all of the bad mortgages, like piling them together and then giving them like a high score so that, you know, it's like, well, you know, I can't do anything.
It's all
with
a
bunch
of shit rated high.
Yeah.
It's like Taco Bell.
Yeah, the $20 or the $5 box or whatever. Yeah. It's
a bunch of shit, but you will enjoy it.
It's $5.
Can't beat that.
One aspect of the movie that I really like was Steve Carell. He's kind of like the moral high ground character, even though he does work for a bank too. And he like struggles with that. Throughout the film, he's like, I'm just as, you know, shitty as these guys or whatever. But his, like, sole mission is to, like, seek out why this is happening. And he, like, goes to a bunch of different companies and he basically learns that everyone's corrupt, like, from the ground up. It's like, you're only giving these things, like, these ratings because then you get money. And it's like, he's like, well, what the fuck? He's, like, freaking out.
Was it him or the young kids? I can't remember. That went and talked to...
Wall Street Journal,
the two good looking guys that were just arrogant.
Oh yeah, that was Steve Carell.
Was that Steve Carell?
Yeah, in his group.
The one guy, the only reason I remember that really is the one guy played in Aladdin, and he was the dumb prince.
That's what he was in. He was also in No Time to Die. He tried to kill James Bond, and then he was in Game Night too.
Yeah. Is that his actual like? Is it a lisp? Because I feel like I heard. How he talked in Aladdin, how he had that, like...
I don't think that he actually has that.
It must have just been my brain, because I thought I heard him still with a lisp.
No, I think he's American, isn't he?
Yeah.
Okay. But...
Yeah. And then we don't follow, like, those types of characters, but, like, we... Throughout the film, it, like, references back to those characters, so, like, we see the characters that are, like, renting that, like, super bougie house in the middle of these, like, nowhere. And he's like, I'm paying my rent. Is my landlord, like, not paying his mortgage or whatever? And he's like, you should talk to him about that. And then after...
Yeah, I felt bad for that guy.
Yeah. Or that's the funny thing. He's like, oh, just, like... Just, like, Howard something... is he here? And he's like, you want to see my landlord's dog? So, like, the landlord, like, took the mortgage out under his dog's name, and then,
how,
like,
do you do that?
I don't know.
That's kind of, like, I'm pretty sure you have to be, like, ID checked and shit like
that. It's like a pre-9/11, like, airport security. It's like, people just didn't double check this shit because it's like, oh, the housing market is, like, the most stable thing ever. Like, it's never going to possibly fail. So, like, before 9/11, you know, airport security, you could just like walk through basically.
Yeah, nobody cared, yeah.
And so that's kind of like a similar situation where it's like, well, these mortgages and these banks, they It's like, whatever, you know, we don't really care. We're not going to scrutinize it. Right. And then after that happened, they're like, okay, we should probably take this a little bit more seriously.
ID but, checks and maybe a social security number. Yeah.
But we follow that character. Like, after the crash, you see him and his family, unfortunately, living in that car.
Yeah.
And those two assholes are at, like, a New Orleans job fair.
Yeah.
And all that's there is, like, KFC and, like, Wendy's and shit like that. And they're, like, bragging to Steve Carell about how, like, they're making, like, $20,000 from selling these really bad mortgages to, like, immigrants and shit like that. Yeah.
Then the one person that Steve Carell goes to is a stripper who owns...
Three houses.
He owns five houses in a condo, and she has...
And a boat, right?
Two mortgages out on each house. Which is like, he's like explaining, he's like, why, like, you're going to default on all this shit. And she's like, I can just readjust my rates. And it's like, they're not going to let you do that. You're going to, and that's like, just, I mean, obviously that was probably hyperbolic. Like, I'm sure that a stripper didn't own like five houses or whatever, but you know, all of these, like,
I mean, it depends on what city she's in. If you're working, I don't know, Las Vegas Strip or something.
They can definitely make a lot of money.
Even some little dinky club around here, even, like, you probably make a couple grand a week.
Oh, yeah.
But
easily.
So imagine what it'll be in, like, a city.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Stripper talk.
But yeah, I think the standout of the movie is basically Adam McKay's style. Like,
Steve Carell talking like Ray Romano.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, Steve Carell, I think, was my favorite character.
Yeah. I mean, he's kind of, like, grounded. Like, he's the character you're supposed to relate to the most. Right. Because there is all this heavy shit of, like, hard-to-digest information about the economics and everything like that. But he's grounded because the storyline of his brother who killed himself.
Yeah, that came out of left field, I thought.
Yeah.
Like,
well, his first introduction of that character is he crashes an anger management, like, AA.
Oh, right. Meeting. I forgot about that.
Like, this dude's, like bearing his soul or whatever, and he's like, he, like, kicks the door and, sorry, I'm late. And then he just, like, starts rambling off about how, like, some bank is fucking over some other guy, and they're like, we've talked about this plenty of times. You can't just hijack our sessions. He's like, I wasn't hijacking. Was I hijacking? And they're like,
completely interrupted the guy.
And then, like, she's, like, trying to goad him into talking about his brother's suicide, which he's like, I'm not going to talk about that. And then he gets a phone call. He's like, I got to go. And he leaves her immediately.
I totally forgot about that scene.
Yeah, that's his introduction to the film. And then it's like shortly after that is revealed that his brother killed himself, because he's like on the foot. He's talking to his wife while trying to get a cab. And then it's like, it shows, like, his brother standing on the ledge of the building. And yeah, so later on in the movie, we get that scene of his like reconciliation with the fact that he wasn't there for his brother. And that's like a more human moment in a rather numbers based film, for sure. There's a couple of things like that throughout the movie.
The one line that he says during that still kind of stuck in my brain. He was like, I offered him fucking money.
Yeah, it's like, the first thing I did was ask him if he needed money.
Yeah.
There's, like, that scene and the scene where the two kids who need Brad Pitt to, like, basically, like, be the dude that, like, gets them into the room.
Right.
Whenever they're, like, they had bet, they shorted the AAA, whatever they were, and they're, like, dancing, because they're like, oh, we're going to make so much money, and he's like, fucking stop dancing.
Stop it.
Like, do you understand what you've done? You've bet against the American economy. If you guys win, like, people are going to be, like, homeless. People are going to lose their jobs. And he's like, I'm sorry, we didn't think about that, and we're just excited. He's like, just don't fucking dance.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that has to be a scary thought, because they're like, it for them, from their perspective, it was a guaranteed thing. Like, these are eventually going to fail. So, like, yeah, this is going to, like, we're going to get the payout, but you don't think about all of the other fucking
the domino effect, yeah. Or the butterfly effect, I guess.
And that's what Brad Pitt says. He's like, you know why I hate stocks and, like, numbers? Because it simplifies people down into numbers.
Right.
You don't think about...
Which, that guy who Steve Carell talks to at the fancy dinner place.
Yeah.
Like, that, like, it shows you, like, just how fucked up you can become, be like playing in that market, because that dude just did not give a shit about anybody except for money. Like, and he's like, so you just screw over these people for like and he's like, yeah. And he's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, he's like, you're a shit human being. And like, leaves there.
Yeah,
that seems pretty funny, because like, yeah. He's like, Steve Carell's like writing down in a notepad, and then every time it pans back to him, he's just like eating like another entree, yeah. Or like dessert or something. And like, Steve Carell hasn't even like taken a bite out of his main meal. He's just like been grilling him this entire time.
I remember there was an untouched thing of ice cream.
Yeah.
At the end.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, I'm gonna be sick. Just leave.
You're a shit human being.
Also, I love Christian Bale's character.
Yeah.
Mainly because his name's Mike and he's a drummer.
Yeah. His character is interesting.
He's blasting Metallica like 90% of the time.
And then he bets his company's money.
Yeah, he bets like his entire company's like liquid stock,
yeah.
On like the housing market crash.
Yeah. Which is just...
And he makes, if I recall correctly, $249 billion. Was that what it was?
I thought it was like 2.4 billion.
Something like, yeah, that. But yeah, he makes like a ridiculous fucking right. amount of money.
Yeah, because like the minute that it happens, he like puts all the money that he took out of the liquid stock back in the guy's account. And he's like,
I've deposited $482 million into your account. You're welcome.
Yeah.
He literally says, you're welcome. Yeah,
and then he fucking just leaves with all the rest of the money that he made off of it. Yeah, because then there was that whole thing where it was like, he asked if people wanted to interview him about how he knew about this.
Yeah.
Like, literally nobody ever interviewed us about it.
Yeah. Yeah. That guy was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I still don't, I guess I still don't know or understand, like, what his deal was.
Like, what do you mean?
Like, was he on the spectrum?
I think that's fair to say. I think that was pretty clear.
I didn't know if it was that or if, like, he just had kind of lost it at one
yeah,
point.
Yeah, well, like,
nah,
he had a false eye from a very young age, and then,
right,
like, he even says multiple times, he's like, I'm not good socially, but I am good at numbers, and, like, I'm good at finding, like, things that are yeah. wrong, and that's what I do. So, yeah. And like the scenes whenever it's hard to explain, like whenever the shit is like tanking because mm-hmm. people aren't paying their mortgages and they should be making money but they're not because the government is like no, or banks are like valuing them higher than they should be,
right?
And like everybody's like having their meltdown and he's just like fucking like smashing his drums and he's just like
yeah.
But I mean, they eventually made it out on top. I'm sure that was a very stressful thing for him because he even says his mentor tries to sue him at right. one point.
Yeah.
So after all that, he's like, I'm leaving the company.
Wasn't that like his biggest investor?
Well, yeah, it was like, it was his biggest investor, but it was like his mentor.
Oh, okay.
And then like, yeah, so he was angry at him because he wanted his money back, like millions of dollars. But he's like, well, then our position is going to be defaulted and we'll lose everything.
Right.
So that's when he's like, I have made the decision that you are not allowed to remove your money from
oh, yeah,
this deal.
Restricting all...
Yeah, all investments.
All withdrawals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's just like 2 seconds, he just like puts in his headphones and starts blaring music and then...
His phone's going off.
And like every line on his phone starts ringing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shit like that.
And it says, I'm suing.
Yeah.
Like, that subject was, is
yeah,
I'm suing.
Yeah.
That was his mentor that sent him that.
Was that the same guy that was like in his office?
Yeah.
Telling
yeah.
him like,
yeah, he's like,
I want my fucking money.
Yeah. Hindsight is 20/20 though, you know?
Right. Yeah. I would kind of like a little bit of payoff, like, I don't, would that guy be like, I'm glad you stuck by it, or...
I think he continued with the suit against him.
Oh, okay.
Just because, you know...
He could get more than...
He's, yeah, he's a prick. Right. Because $428 million isn't enough for some people.
Yeah.
I want $429.
I'll just take one.
They gotta give me that $2 million.
They gotta give it to me. That's my quote.
That's my rate. Even if I do a bad job, they gotta give me that $2 million.
I like the way that it's shot. It's kind of like a... It's not exactly mockumentary, but it's kind of that. It's very fluid. And that's how Vice is shot as well. It's not like set the camera on a tripod, shoot things like this. It's very like... It's a very motion heavy camera, which I like that kind of thing. But yeah.
Yeah, overall... Yeah, looked great. I liked how it was shot. I knew it was different.
I wish it was a little bit more of an accessible movie, because then I think... I don't think that it's like... It was nominated for an Oscar. I don't know if it won or anything, but...
you mean
I think
Steve,
it did win.
You mean to tell me Steve Carell didn't win for his Ray Romano impression?
I think it won Best Adapted Screenplay Oscar, but yeah.
I think you're right.
Yeah, it's like I say, it's a little dense, so I feel like it kind of like pushes people away from viewing it. I wish it was a little more accessible, because I really like the movie. I want people to talk about it more.
I was gonna say, I'm pretty picky, I would say, when it comes to movies. I liked it. I wasn't sure what I was getting into, and I started it last night, and at one point I just got too tired, but I watched what I could this morning, and I was very eager to actually finish it, so it had my attention.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's about all we could say
about the movie,
because none of us are experts on this.
I mean, goes down, and people get money.
I was just going to sit down and be like, well, you guys know about the housing crisis, right? All right, well, that was the movie. We'll see you next time.
Well, shall we rate it then?
Yeah. Sure.
I guess I'll go first. I'm going to rate it. I'm grappling between an 8 and an 8.5 out of 10. Because I thoroughly enjoyed it. I was working at a movie theater when it first came out.
Okay.
So, like, I got to, like, see it a few times there. And then we did, like, this special where it was, like, we got back all of the movies that were nominated for Oscars and things.
Ah.
So I was able to see it like that. And I just remember liking it a hell of a lot. And I wanted to revisit it. And glad I did. Like I say... said before, some of the cutaways are a little insulting to a degree, but necessary.
I think they're very necessary. I don't think it's a negative.
Yeah, we're a bunch of morons.
I'm stupid.
We need to explain.
All that's based around math. I suck at math.
I'm god awful at math.
I'm good at accounting, but not math in general. I mean, accounting isn't that hard. Accounting is just kind of add up your numbers, make sure they balance.
Right, like, yeah.
That's not hard. Now, if you're telling me to do long division, I'm going to tell you to go fuck yourself. Like, I'm not doing that.
I just like the human elements of this very dense story that Adam McKay told, so yeah.
What'd you say?
We're going to have to find out later. Eight and a half or eight.
I'll give it an 8.8.
Ain't a perfect movie, but it's very good.
Yeah.
Enjoyable. Like I said, I like Adam McKay. I like his style. I like his storytelling. So, yeah.
All the performances are really good.
With a great cast, I mean, you just can't go wrong just from that. Really. Except for Ryan Gosling's hair.
That was miscast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big time.
Bad on them for that.
Well, we have a recommendation coming for us for our next episode.
Yeah.
I hope you're ready.
Oh, I I've made a list, and guess what? I know where the damn list is. But I don't need the list this time.
Wait, I'll get my list. Use it.
We'll cross-reference list.
I'm going to go with, it's going to be a double feature, Crank 1 and 2.
I've never seen Crank or Crank 2.
Really?
I think my dad was just watching that. But yeah, I've only ever seen like parts of the first one, so.
I was just discussing with my girlfriend, like, the movies, because I had bought them. I found a pack of, like, Jason Statham movies. $7.50 on Blu-ray. There's 6 movies.
Yeah.
Both Cranks are in it. I'm like, okay. But we were talking about the movies, and everything that I mentioned was in the first movie, because she's only seen the first movie. I'm like, what the fuck happens in the second movie?
It's more craziness, I'm sure.
So, I'm excited to see the second one, because I don't even know what the hell happens. I know I've seen it.
Yeah, I've seen neither of them, so.
All right.
I can't wait.
There you have it, guys. If you don't want to be spoiled for Crank 1 and 2, make sure to watch it before our next episode. I hope you guys enjoyed our conversation about The Big Short. I know we enjoyed having it.
Don't speak for us.
Well, I enjoyed having it. Make sure to like, comment, subscribe, all that fun stuff. Share videos, everything, you know, that YouTube spiel.
Yes, yes.
And we'll see you guys in the next one. Later.